Well, as you've been hearing this morning, all eyes have been on Israel and Iran over the past few days as the conflict between the two powers continues to escalate following Israel's attack on Tehran on Friday. Iranian state media has confirmed that the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps' intelligence arm and his deputy were killed in an Israeli strike on Sunday. The two intelligence leaders were all too familiar to our next guest. Dr. Kylie Moore-Gilbert is an Australian academic and, of course, a former political prisoner in Iran, where she was held for more than 800 days. And Kylie Moore-Gilbert joins me now. Welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to talk to you again. Before we look at the bigger picture, we've had these reports from Iranian state media of the deaths of these two senior figures from the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. How significant is that?
I think on the grander scheme of things, they're not the most significant Iranian regime figures who've been assassinated so far, but certainly on a personal level, it's definitely significant. And I know from talking to a number of former political prisoners in Iran that, you know, nobody's shedding too many tears over the demise of these two guys, let's put it that way. You know, they've presided over the wrongful arrests, torture and mass atrocities, including in prison, of literally thousands of innocent Iranians, including protesters in the 2023 uprising, and have done, you know, have an inordinate amount of blood on their hands. So we're not too upset about this one.
Did you meet either of them at all during your detention?
No, I actually briefly met the former head of IRGC intelligence, who was the head at the time of my arrest. So he was actually, interestingly, removed over suspicions about Israeli penetration of IRGC intelligence a few years earlier. And this is his replacement. But, you know, they're all cut from the same cloth and they're all responsible for the same atrocities. So, yeah, we're happy that they've gone.
How do you see the bigger picture at the moment with this escalation and also the prospect of a resumption of talk, some kind of deal on Iran's nuclear capability?
From what I understand, it seems as though Iran has reached out via intermediaries in the region and said it wants to continue the talks. And this is, I guess, expected. It's on the ropes. You know, a large number of the nuclear and military facilities that the regime had have now been destroyed. And it makes sense from a regime survival perspective that the Islamic Republic would attempt to negotiate an end to this bombardment, even if it comes out with egg on its face and is forced to accept a much weaker bargaining position in the talks than it had when it was sitting down with the Trump administration just last week. So I think we can expect this, but also Donald Trump doesn't seem to be in a particular hurry. You know, he's been writing on Truth Social saying he's willing to sit down with Iran and that they need to make a deal, but he's not heaping pressure diplomatically on this. He's happy to sit back and watch Israel, you know, cause more destruction to the nuclear program and weaken their hand further before potentially entering those negotiations.
Just briefly, I wanted to ask you about the domestic situation in Iran before we look further at the international situation. With economic sanctions, a lack of popularity for the regime, is the Iranian regime under much domestic political pressure, or is their grip so firm that they don't see it as a threat?
I'd say this is the weakest moment for the Islamic Republic since its founding, potentially even weaker than when Saddam Hussein invaded Iran in 1980, which was also an existential moment, an invasion by a foreign power. We saw in the 80s, the revolution had just happened. People still rallied behind this, at the time, new regime to defend their homeland. We're not seeing this right now in Iran. We're seeing a lot of fear, a lot of trepidation, a lot of anxiety. We're seeing massive queues on the freeways as people are trying to exit Tehran, for example. But we're not seeing protests in the street on any large scale in favor of the regime or people rallying behind the flag. I think the sentiment very much is right now that the Islamic Republic brought this down upon their own heads, and that the people have separate interests to this regime. And a lot of the people, a large swathe of the population, want the regime to go. And that hasn't changed.
when we look at Iran's military capabilities, conventional military capabilities, the civilian casualties as well, how much longer can this conflict go on from Iran's perspective, do you think?
It's going to be a bitter pill indeed for the Islamic Republic to swallow, particularly those more hardline elements of the Revolutionary Guard, which, you know, really have a cult of martyrdom and are willing to fight to the very end rather than surrender. But it's pretty obvious that the regime's on the ropes. And in times not comparable to these, because this hasn't happened before, but, you know, at other points in Iran's history, the supreme leader has shown a kind of a pragmatism and a willingness to negotiate, to make concessions to when regime survival is on the line. I assume that they will be pursuing a similar track right now, recognizing that if they stay on this path, the very destruction of their entire entity is possible. So I do think in the end they'll have to swallow that bitter pill and sit down and negotiate, but it's going to be a really tough call because there are significant elements, particularly within the Revolutionary Guard and other hardline factions in the regime, that do not want to negotiate, do not want to compromise even now.
Iran's proxies, of course, have been significantly diminished over the past 12 months. How is that feeding into Iran's own perception of its ability to negotiate and its power in the region?
Iran is in a really weak position. You know, the crown jewel of their proxy network, Hezbollah, has not notably entered this at all. And I saw that the Lebanese government had kind of officially warned Hezbollah not to get involved. And, you know, this was always the trump card that Iran had held over Israel. You know, if you strike our nuclear program, we have Hezbollah sitting on your border with hundreds of missiles aimed straight at you. So don't try it. And the wipeout of the top echelons of Hezbollah last year really changed the calculus when it came to a potential Iran-Israel war. And I think Iran is feeling that weakness. The Iraqi militias have also ruled themselves out from getting involved. And the Iraqi government's also very explicitly said, don't drag us into this. We don't want war. We don't want to be involved. So all they have to rely on seems to be the Houthis in Yemen, who have fired a few missiles at Israel, but have also sort of not been a particularly strong ally in a military sense. And I think Iran's feeling pretty friendless and alone, really, on the diplomatic stage. And the loss of its proxies is hugely significant.
Kylie, it's been really valuable to get your insights to what's unfolding at the moment. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Sally.
That's Dr. Kylie Moore-Gilbert, the Australian academic and, of course, a former political prisoner in Iran, where she was held for 804 days.
You're listening to ABC Radio National.